December corn pushed through resistance at 450 overnight, and November beans had a nine handle again. But corn and wheat are showing signs those markets have rallied too far and too fast. Does that mean the rally is over?
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll talk with Aaron Borer from the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Then it's our Farmer Forum featuring panelists Bill Flory and Chad Ingalls. And right after the news, it's AgPro Magazine's Margie Eckelkamp. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Hey, welcome to AgriTalk, everybody. And Davis, thank you so much. It's
absolutely
good to be back at it again this morning.
Yes,
there is
good morning.
News breaking as we speak.
In fact, there is.
Yes, because Robert Mueller is commenting. Number one, he announced his resignation.
Yeah.
The office in which he occupies is being shut down. He's resigning. He's going back to private life.
Okay.
He is emphasizing that the president cannot be charged with a crime while in office.
Mm-hmm.
He has said that he will not comment on the guilt or innocence of anybody that is involved, and that the Mueller report must, as written, must stand on its own. And the Attorney General Barr, who is Mueller's boss, has made it available.
Yeah.
Has made it available. So
he's basically been hamstrung in his position and said, heck with it. I'm going back to real life.
No, he said the investigation is over.
Yeah.
It's not that he's throwing his hands in the air. He's saying, hey, brushing his shoulders off and saying the job is done.
Right. Right.
Let's move on.
Huh.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think what he's doing is, in announcing that not announcing, because I think this should have been known already, but making a comment, making an official nationally broadcast comment.
Right.
That the office is over. The investigation is over. The office of the special investigator is shut down and closed, and the report needs to stand on its own. I don't know what they're going to do with it going forward. Of course, it's going to be spun one way by the Republicans, another way by the Democrats.
Well, that's, you got to wonder if maybe Democrats aren't going to go out fishing for someone who can find the results that they're looking for.
Well, they can try.
Did I say that out loud?
I think you did. To answer the question that I asked in the open, does this mean that the rally is over? Corn was sharply higher in the overnight, is now 3-4 cents lower. No, you can't say that the rally is over because of this. We've been talking about it quite a bit on the afternoon show, just the way that the market has moved to the upside. It was 11 days and 73 cents. It turned into 12 days and almost 90 cents at the high.
Right.
A bit of a setback in here. I don't think should be a surprise to anybody.
Yeah, okay? Sure. Healthy, right?
Yeah, so let's not panic over this, but it needs to be respected as well. Mm-hmm. So if you were waiting for 4:30 in D's futures before making a sale, you've still got that opportunity.
For
you
now.
You may want to take advantage of that. All right, let's get to the news. What's going on?
Well, Chip, this is interesting. China has pledged to make good on promises to make large purchases of U.S. ag products, including corn, soybeans, and wheat, in statements delivered to the World Trade Organization summit in Geneva yesterday. But with the U.S.-China trade negotiations in tatters, sources report President Xi Jinping may be considering using rare earths, which are critical for numerous manufactured and technology-related goods, as leverage against President Trump's trade policies. China accounts for roughly 90% of the world's rare earth minerals production and has made attempts before at stemming the flow of the metals in the past, a move that was shot down by the World Trade Organization. Now, rare earths have not been subject to tariffs in President Trump's current strategy, but in light of the administration blacklisting Chinese tech giant Huawei. An editorial in China's People's Daily said, quote, "Don't say we didn't warn you." Watchers expect technology to become a larger part of the trade war from this point on. And this kind of gets to the meat of some of the issues I think that President Trump was really trying to get at, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, Davis. And with China retaliating with the rare earth metals or threatening, this is China turning up the heat in all of this. Mm-hmm. It really is. So there's going to be movement on the Strait issue in the short run. Yep. There's going to be movement because there's going to have to be movement.
Yep. Canada's parliament is preparing to adjourn for the summer, and any votes will soon require a rare emergency summer session. In light of that timeline, Canada says it will introduce legislation today to implement the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement of USMCA. U.S. Ag Secretary Sandy Perdue wrote in an editorial, "It's important to note we didn't get all the improvements we wanted for seasonal fruits and vegetables," but he noted, despite the concerns amongst U.S. fruit and veggie growers, USMCA is not a step backwards. Right. Meanwhile, the EU and Japan are reportedly urging the Trump administration to form a coalition of nations to work together in solving the U.S.-China trade spat, accusing China of operating within a trade-distorting economic model. Many have wondered why Trump has stuck to his go-it-alone strategy against China, suggesting a coalition would have greater impact in negotiations. I got one more quick one, but do you want to get to Margie?
Yeah, let's go ahead and get to Margie, the editor of Ag Professional. It's Margie Echelkamp. How are you today, Margie?
I'm doing well, Chip. How are you?
Doing just fine. You know, normally at the end of May, the crop would be up, corn crop would be up and growing and coming along, and we'd be out there saying, hey, get out there and start scouting. Our emergence is terrible, but do we still need to get out and do that stuff?
Yeah, despite 2019 not being a normal year, it is an important year for both retailers and farmers and consultants and everyone work together to really operate with those best practices when it comes to scouting. There is going to be a lot of yield out there to protect, and like you said, with a lot of variability, it heightens the stakes in the game on protecting that yield. We did a poll on agprofessional.com, and 77% of our audience is going to be investing in more scouting resources. That's both boots on the ground and technologies used out there to help evaluate the crop that we have. And just one tip would be, go ahead and get started with your scouting protocols. The best thing you can do is to set expectations for whomever you have out there scouting your fields. I know a lot of retailers have a fresh crop of interns that are getting ready to go out. Right. But also to really use in-season record keeping, so planting date, in-field observations, you know, notes on which fields got that good burn-down herbicide pass pre-plant, which fields weren't able to get that nitrogen pass on, and that'll help you set priorities and also set expectations, because when you're out there scouting, it's one thing to mark that you've got a water hemp escape, but it's another thing to really mark what that growth stage is of that weed, any kind of other records that you can go ahead and keep track of, because that'll set you up for success even next year.
Very good, very good. Yeah, the market right now is trying to open the planting window even wider, but if you did get the crop in the ground, double down, because the market is giving you some incentive to do that, protect that crop and build that yield. All right, Margie, thank you.
Thank you, Chip.
That is Margie Echelkamp, editor of Ag Professional. We've got Aaron Bohrer from the U.S. Meat Export Federation up next on AgriTalk.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you are able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com now.
The premier Farm Journal Hemp College is coming to Lexington, Kentucky on June 19th. This one-day farmer-focused event will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your questions. Register for Farm Journal Hemp College at regonline.com/hempcollege.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
They're not the type to ask for help, the ones who beat the sun to their workday. But after floods erased generations of farmland, livestock, and crops, that resolve was shaken. It's time to show our farmers and ranchers that when waters rise, so do good people. Maybe they won't ask for help, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't answer. Donate to our farmers and ranchers at staystrongnebraska.com.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and...
Your next piece of equipment is on MachineryPete.com. Search equipment from dealerships across the country to find what you're looking for. Only on MachineryPete.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. John Harris, who is the news director for Farm Journal, has been sending me messages about the Mueller comments.
Yeah.
And Davis, he did emphasize that Mueller emphasized that if they had found that there was evidence that the president did not commit a crime, they would have said so. So,
okay.
It'll continue after this.
That kind of hurt my head just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, surprise, surprise. This is right. Going to continue. Welcome right. back to AgriTalk, everybody. let's get into something that has nothing to do with crops. I shouldn't say nothing to do with crops, but little to do with crops. It's another challenge that we are facing around the world, and that is African swine fever in Asia and the market opportunities that it might bring to us here in the U.S., the U.S. Meat Export Federation wrapped up its spring conference on Friday with a panel on trade implications from African swine fever. And Aaron Bohrer, an economist there at USMEF, was sitting on that panel. And Aaron joins us right now. Aaron, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Good. How are you? Good morning.
Doing just fine. Just fine. How was the meeting in Kansas City last week?
It was good. Obviously, a lot of dynamics, so yeah. No shortage of conversations in the halls and in the meetings, and it was busy, but everyone seemed to be upbeat despite many challenges in the countryside and many fields that are yet to be planted.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there were the other participants in the panel, Dr. Dave Pyburn, who is the Senior Vice President for Science and Technology at the National Pork Board, and Joel Haggard, USMEF Senior VP for Asia Pacific, were also on there. And Joel said something in the comments that I read after it. And we always talk about how big that the Chinese hog herd is, Aaron. But when he said there's 25 million hog producers in China, that's one of those things that just kind of make you shake your head like, oh, my gosh. That right. is an incredible. No wonder why it is so hard to get a handle on what is going on over there.
Exactly. It kind of sums it up.
Yes, it really does. So tell me, what is going on over there?
Right. Well, Dr. Pyburn said that he was looking to me to have the answers on the future in that panel. And so I started my segment saying, sorry, I clearly cannot tell you the future. And yes, I mean, that's a lot of the challenge. Good analysis requires good, rigorous data and information. And we have boots on the ground every day there in Beijing and Shanghai and Hong Kong, where Joel is located. And so we're getting constant information. And I mean, that's the key for us, is just kind of balancing a variety of sources. But it is impossible. I was in Shanghai before our board meeting with Joel and our China team. We did a big Traders Club event, and I talked to a lot of the key players there. And I mean, even the big players in China are trying to get their heads around this. So that tells you that, you know, sitting here, obviously, we really don't know. But right. even those with big skin in the game are trying to understand. And yes, it's complex. I mean, I think a few things I walked away from there with was the impact on consumption, which is very difficult to measure and understand. But anecdotally, virtually everyone was saying Chinese consumption of pork is down maybe 20 to 30%, so huge. So that helps you kind of put into context. We know the losses are significant, dramatic, terrible, but you're also seeing this offset by a decrease in consumption or demand, and that's, we think, part of the reason why you've seen kind of Chinese hog prices and pork prices kind of stabilize for the last, you know, basically 2 months.
Right.
And there's also just the fact that freezers are full, and that was another unanimous comment. Inventories in cold storage are large, and they're at capacity. So part of what we assume needs to happen is prices in the wholesale market in China for pork are going to have to break or possibly move lower to move product out, because we know there's huge shipments on the water from our competitors from Europe and Canada and Brazil. So to be able to move that product in. And so it's, I think that's part of why markets everywhere are trying to take a breath and see what's, because the shortage in meat in China is still looming. I mean, it's still out there, but it's yet to actually hit.
Exactly. Okay. A couple of things that I want to follow up on here. You said the big players in China. First, real quick, explain what that big player in China is, what they do, and what are they doing to prepare for that meat shortage that is coming?
Well, so we have really the whole range of folks at our event. So from those involved, even on the hog side in China, to, of course, the big buyers of imported products. And our event was right on the sidelines of Cial, Shanghai, their huge trade show, which was just crazy. Of course, our booth was beautiful and well attended, but everyone was expecting a U.S.-China trade agreement the Friday before, and we went backwards. So the Europeans and the South Americans and the Australians were just getting run over. I mean, it was totally crazy, because of course the beef buying and all the substitute meat products, beef being the biggest because China still has pretty restricted poultry imports. Those folks are also hedging on this looming shortage. So yeah, I mean, it's the who's who in the China meat trade, and we just talk to as many people as we can, and again, that includes some in the domestic Chinese industry and those buying a lot of South American beef, for example. And again, yeah, everyone is trying to hedge against this, but still guessing pricing, a lot of high priced product in inventory.
Right.
So you're going to have to free up cash flow.
Interesting. Okay. 25 to 30% drop in pork consumption in China right now. Is that coming back?
Well, and this is where I think it's interesting, because right now, what I think we're seeing is the demand impact, as in, I don't know what this African swine fever thing is. I think it's also been a little bit, the messaging is tricky, right? Because we don't want the infected meat in the food supply because we don't want it fed back to pigs.
Right.
But as a consumer, you're thinking, well, why would I eat that? So it's perfectly safe. It's not going to hurt us. But you can see where the messaging is a little bit confusing because the Chinese government's trying to test and remove this infected product so it doesn't go back in the pig supply,
right?
And continue spreading the disease. But so I think that's where consumers are just kind of eat. And then another big switch is that your schools, your canteens, your factory feeding, a lot of them we know switched immediately to poultry. I mean, the cheapest, most perfect substitute for pork, there is none.
Yep.
But if you have to, that's what it is. And so we know a lot of that has happened, and how much Chinese poultry production can grow in the short run is a whole nother factor because they have limited grandparent flock imports from the U.S. But their yellow birds, I understand, which is about half of their production, they can ramp that up fairly quickly. And then the white birds, which is a better substitute for pork in processing materials, is going to take a bit more time. But yeah, it's kind of poultry and eggs being substituted for pork. And then longer term, what happens? I think that's where you get into more of a price, i.e. supply limitation.
Right.
So,
I've only got about a minute left here, Aaron. I got to ask you about what your price expectations here are. I know that you're looking for record levels of global pork trade in the year and years ahead. But what's that mean for prices here in the U.S.?
Yep. Well, I mean, you've seen our board trying to guess it. So we know that our summer, now we're in summer, our summer contracts were over $100 a hundredweight. Now we're back, what, in the low 80s? And so the market's clearly grappling with this. And I think watching your deferred contracts, because 2020 is probably where the bigger game is and possibly the out years. That's where the market's going to have to try to factor in. But right now, the market's saying keep expanding right here in the U.S. Yeah. So in a sense, this is more and more meaning that we need China to take the product because the rest of the world has been buying strong, but it requires China moving huge volumes out of the U.S. to support higher price levels because we have a lot of pork coming at us here in the States, and right now the market's saying keep on keeping on.
Yep. Aaron, 10 seconds on this one. How long are we going to feel the influence of ASF in China?
That was my question for Dr. Piper. Man, this disease sounds like a different one. I mean, China typically rebounds super fast. Crisis equals opportunity. You can make a buck, you're back in hogs. But the rebreaks and the challenges with refilling barns might make this a longer-term game and hit their productivity for many years to go.
Aaron, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Aaron Bohr from USMEF.
Sometimes life is wonderful. And sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910. 800-626-4910.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Brian, sharply higher in corn overnight, backed off, now trying to come back a little bit. What is going on?
Well, it's a wild ride, Chip, if nothing else. I guess to see it explode the way it did overnight, it gapped higher, and then we filled the gap this morning. So I guess, you know, given the type of rally we've had the past 2 weeks, it isn't too surprising to see it do some backing and filling in here to see what kind of strength is underneath the market. The close is going to be vitally important, I think, today. If we can finish high range or something, then it appears it's got more upside potential. If we would happen to finish low range, then maybe some exhaustion has come into the marketplace. We'll have to see, but the close is going to be critical today, I think.
Yeah, wheat is under some pressure here this morning as well, kind of trading similarly to what we have seen in corn. But beans still got high teens gains going. What is happening?
Beans are still playing catch-up. I mean, we've seen this rally led largely by the corn market. Wheat's also participated actively. And soybeans have gotten the act here recently, but, you know, they've kind of been a laggard to this point. And so they are playing some catch-up in those gains in the teens here this morning. Well off of session highs, but still performing much better here at mid-morning than what the corn and wheat markets are.
Lots of red numbers in the livestock markets again this morning.
Yeah, unfortunately, just a struggle to find buyers in there right now. We are seeing just a hint of corrective buying underneath the market and some of the hog futures, but not much. And the cattle market, they're just waiting around to see what the cash market will do this week if any stability is there.
Gotcha. Thank you, Brian.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
I'm Andrew McCray, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, farmer-focused podcast. It's all about production agriculture. Farming the Countryside is available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts and is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Davis, I'm a little concerned that we're going to blow some minds here in just a moment.
Okay.
Yeah, because we've got Chad Ingles from Iowa and Bill Flory from Idaho.
Okay.
No, they are not the same place.
Okay.
Well, and a Flory, yeah. But Idaho and Iowa are two separate places. Okay.
Okay.
One does grow corn. That's Iowa. Mm-hmm. The other does grow potatoes. That's Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, there's a lot of confusion out there in the non-farming community, I should add.
Certainly they must be neighboring states, Ohio, Iowa, then Idaho, right? Isn't that how it lines up on the map? That's why people get confused, right?
Exactly, but yeah. Don't.
I got a D plus in geography.
Don't think it's a short drive, though. Don't make that assumption.
She's a wide territory.
Yes. And again, yeah, there is another Flory on the show today. Bill Flory. Bill, no relation Flory. I think he emphasizes that more than I do, though. People need to understand that.
He's
Bill,
wise.
How are you?
Good. How's my brother with a different mother? How's he doing today?
Just great. How are you?
This is good. I'm glad to report in from the other I state. things are great out here. Life is good.
Yeah. How is the planting season going, Bill?
Planting season's wrapped up. Starting to spray spring crops. The basins got their crops in. A little wet and cool in some parts of the inland northwest, but overall had nearly a perfect spring once it finally broke.
Wow! And that white winter wheat crop up there, how's it doing?
It's a little more spotty than usual. I don't think Idaho is going to set a new. Gonna hit 100 bushel average across all wheat acres this year. We were in the high 90s last year, but there's a little wet and a little cool for a long time. Some snow laid a long time in parts of the Northwest. But like I said, once it broke, it's been nearly perfect. Crops are in, look good, and we get sporadic rain. Unlike a lot of the production area, it hasn't been overwhelming.
Gotcha. Hey, tell everybody about what that white winter wheat crop is used for in the global market.
It's soft white. One part of it is the club wheat, which Japan has been and is a major customer of it. They use it in their sponge cakes. Makes very, very nice confectionery products and works in sponge cakes. It also works in blends out of the Northwest to provide consistency to millers and ultimately the bakers. So it's a high utility and it's predominant here in the inland Northwest. Great crop.
Yeah, it really is. You've been promoting the heck out of that ever since I've known you, Bill.
Yeah, you know, part of the checkoff system. I'm a wheat commissioner, but I've been in the industry since the 80s. And you know, and I assume we'll get to trade. We'll talk about Japan here in a little bit. But yeah.
Very good. Let's bring in Chad Ingles from Northeast Iowa. Chad, did you miss the spotty showers that we had around here this morning?
Yeah, we've stayed relatively dry here this morning, so just a little damp. But certainly can't be as chipper as Bill there about our spring. It's been kind of a slog here.
Yeah, it certainly has. And we've been better off than our friends out to the east.
Oh, definitely. We've had last 10 days about 3.5 inches of rain, which is a lot better than most, but it's rained 7 out of those 10 days. So
yeah.
It's tough to get things done.
Exactly. Chad, you're a champion for soil conservation, for water quality, for reducing runoff, for cover crops, for all the efforts to improve our water quality here in the state of Iowa. What a year to discover what is working and what is not working. What are some of your observations on controlling runoff this year?
Well, I don't think we're going to have to worry about nitrate concentration in our streams because we've got plenty of dilution that are going on. But seeing a lot of erosion in the fields. I know I've had disagreements with some environmentalists that complain about tiling, but it's very evident if there's no tile in the field, you have a lot more soil erosion. We've been fixing tile, and everywhere that they're plugged or not working right, we've got more erosion than where they work right. So,
right.
And then, of course, grass waterways do a great job. I've seen some pretty bad erosion a couple different places north of you there along 63.
Yep. I saw it last night.
Yeah. So it's just terrible, and it, a little bit of cover crop, a little bit of grass waterways.
And terraces.
And terraces, yes, definitely.
Yep. There's been a big effort in your county. County, or is it your water district to rebuild some of the terraces?
Well, there's certainly some terraces getting rebuilt. I know Clayton County, just east of us, I think they have more terraces in their county than any county in the country.
Right.
I think that stat is close anyway. But so they've done a tremendous amount of work over there, and of course it takes maintenance. They get weak and blow out at times, and then you got a mess. But you need to fix them and take care of them.
Yeah, absolutely. What else is happening, Chad? I mean, we just got off the phone with Aaron Bohr from USMEF talking about ASF. You're in the hog business. It's kind of specialized hog business?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, we're selling to a niche market, so our price hasn't been impacted at this point, other than it's been stable. We are able to have a contract price, which has been above the commercial market for the last several years, and even as the commercial price rises, we'll be able to take advantage of that increase. But we're a domestic market, the group I sell into, and so we're not as affected by some of those.
Yeah, go ahead and say what it is if you want to.
Yeah, it's Nyman Ranch. It's a company that's been around for only about 20 years, but they're actually owned by Purdue Foods, which you think poultry when you talk Purdue. But they've got into the natural pork market, and it's helped them kind of adjust what they think in their poultry system, too. I read an article here a week or two ago that partnership or that ownership of Nyman Ranch by Purdue has changed both companies.
Very cool. Very cool. Bill, you mentioned it that I wanted to talk trade within and the development of that Japanese market in particular, but you've been president of the National Association of Wheat Growers. You're a wheat commissioner now in the state of Idaho. This trade development is something that you've been working on for a long time. What's your thoughts of our current situation?
Well, there was a great meeting with the Japanese Prime Minister and the President here just wrapped up a couple days ago. There's a ongoing negotiation with Japan. Japan's been a major market for U.S. wheat out of Portland. Logistically, very smart, high quality market. And they use a lot of club wheat, and they're very high quality confectionery and other products in their market. So that market's important. And when the TPP got set aside, it changed things. We've got increasing tariffs on wheat, while our competitors, Australia and Japan, Australia and Canada have flat tariffs. So it's providing a disadvantage right now in a market that the producers have spent a lot of checkoff funds in developing and maintaining and making sure we've got products that meet the end users' criteria. So it's a little bit of a challenge, quite frankly. And Chip, we've talked about this before. Yeah. With Ambassador Lighthizer and Ambassador Dowd on the ag side. These are very skilled negotiators. Craig Dowd, if anybody in the administration understands wheat and is a tough negotiator, it's Craig Dowd. Mm. It came out of Kansas. You know, work in the wheat industry, knows the feed industry, understands competitive nature of the world, and it does cause a little consternation. Any part of any market's anticipation, I would say, there's a little negative anticipation. You know, around some of the trade agreements. Of course, the other side of it is with China. China made WTO commitments on wheat, which have never been met. So this administration is a tough bunch of good negotiators run by the president, and quite frankly, this is a little longer game than maybe we're used to. But I think it's where we need to be, and I think the results will be beneficial for all of us, not just in production ag. But we're in a little tough patch right now.
Yeah, no question about it. We are into a tough patch right now, and it makes me wonder how much longer the support for the Trump administration and Lighthizer and Dowd might last. So when we come back, I want to talk about that. We'll start with you, Chad. You know, what are your thoughts of the current situation for U.S. ag trade?
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
The premier Farm Journal Hemp College is coming to Lexington, Kentucky on June 19th. This one-day farmer-focused event will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your questions. Register for Farm Journal Hemp College at regonline.com/hempcollege.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Every season, you try to raise the bar to achieve your best corn yield ever. But disease can stand in the way, like gray leaf spot, northern corn leaf blight, anthracnose leaf blight, and southern rust. New Dilaro fungicide can stop them. Two different modes of action work on the diseases for the entire spray interval, delivering best-in-class dual mode of action residual efficacy for extended performance. It's the help you need for personal best yields. Keep raising the bar with Dilaro from Bayer. Always read and follow label instructions.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
They're not the type to ask for help, the ones who beat the sun to their workday. But after floods erase generations of farmland, livestock, and crops, that resolve was shaken. It's time to show our farmers and ranchers that when waters rise, so do good people. Maybe they won't ask for help, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't answer. Donate to our farmers and ranchers at staystrongnebraska.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Radiate is designed to help crops build longer, stronger, healthier root systems. Ask your Nutrien Ag Solutions crop consultant about Radiate or go to RadiateRoots.com for more information. Always read and follow label directions.
Davis, let's go ahead and do a quick market update here because corn has moved back to the plus side of unchanged.
It sure has.
Yeah, Novi Beans is back with a $9 handle. Wheat is still lower, but it is trading well off the session lows now. So the volatility will continue in this market. There's no question for the short term here. So watch for your opportunities in there, guys. We are having a farmer forum today with Bill Flory from Idaho, Chad Ingles from Northeast Iowa, just up the road from me. When we wrapped up the last segment, Bill had some excellent comments on what is going on in trade here. And Chad, I told you what I was going to ask you, but I'm going to switch gears on you and ask you in a little bit different way. Okay. So the MFP payment 2.0, the market facilitation payment 2.0 that will be coming late July, early August, something like that. Does that buy the Trump administration a little bit more time of support from the farming community?
I think it does, along with this weather market we're having right now, buys them some time. But I think the thing that really shakes farmers up the most is just the uncertainty. And if we had an idea where we were going with all this, I think we'd be able to kind of sit back and ride along. But it's just, we hear something different every week, it seems like, or a different direction, and that uncertainty is really tough to plan for.
Yeah, it is. And Bill, the like we were talking about earlier with Aaron Bohrer from USMEF, they were over there in Shanghai when we were supposed to get the announcement that the U.S. and China had come to an agreement, and then everything went backwards. And she, one of the things that she said that really kind of, you know, shook me a little bit was when she said the representatives from other exporting countries were getting run over by interest from Chinese importing firms. I mean, this has the potential to trade to change up the trade flows, not only for beans, but for all kinds of ag commodities.
Well, Chip, I think that's accurate. China's playing a long-term game here as far as positioning. And I think the Trump administration has challenged them in a number of ways that I think people appreciate and realize there needs to be some solutions to. But the market payment 2.0 that's being finalized by USDA and this administration, I think are an indication that that this administration realizes that there's industries being impacted directly, you know, in lieu of their own market promotion efforts by these tough trade negotiations. So I think it's a great indication of this administration's understanding that these are some rough waters and may take some time to get through.
Yep.
So it's complicated. There's no question.
Yeah. Yeah, and Chad, the other thing that I think the MFP 2.0 is a pretty strong indication that the Trump administration is not going to back away at this point. They're going to stick with it until we get a quote unquote acceptable resolution with the trade talks with China, don't you think?
Oh yeah, I think they're in it for the long haul, and that this MFP 2.0 is just their way of telling us they're going to stick with it, but they're trying to have our backs a little bit along the way, but they're going to follow through with what Trump said.
Yep. Chad, the planting progress up here in Northeast Iowa, we talked about it a little bit earlier. A lot of the corn got in the ground up here, didn't it? But boy, there's a lot of beans still to be planted.
Yeah, there's probably 90-95% of the corn in, but
yep,
there's a lot of beans to be left planted, and I've got all my beans left to plant, but the way the market's acting, I'm wondering if I should just keep planting corn. But
Yeah, and you've still got that flexibility, right?
Right, yep, no herbicides are down, so.
Yeah, that's so there's the silver lining. You don't have any herbicide down, so you've still got flexibility because it's been too wet to get out in the field.
Yep, exactly. And just our local price, I mean, that corn-soy ratio, it's right at 2-1, and it just makes more sense to plant corn, I think.
Yeah, so, you know, in years like 2013, when growers in our area and north and west of us, when there was so much prevent plant in Iowa, we were all concerned about, you know, not having enough corn acres. Well, the guys east of us made up the difference, didn't they?
They did.
No doubt about it. What else is on your priority list right now, Chad?
Oh, we're just working on getting things wrapped up. We'd really like to make a little bit of hay that we make, so we're hoping for some sun and get some field work done, but kind of biding our time.
Absolutely. What about you, Bill? What's on your priority list?
Well, we're seeding cover crops today for soil health, which is about all I think about and do, and plant health ultimately. So it's all good. We're impacted. You know, you talk corn and soybeans and soy being an oil crop. We're impacted out here in the Northwest. We grow a lot of canola, fall and spring canola. And anticipation in that market is taking a couple three cents off the top anyway. So a little bit of subtle but effective impact there. Not to mention on the WTO with China as well as with the tariffs in Japan. So, you know, for an administration that's only got about 300 people in USTR. Boy, they are a busy bunch, and I have a great appreciation for them.
Good stuff, Bill. Thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck to you the rest of the spring.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate
you bet.
It.
And Chad, you had to love that comment about cover crops from Bill.
Oh yeah, that sounds great.
Good stuff, Chad. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you later.
Yep, we'll see you.
Chad Ingles from Iowa. Bill Flory from Idaho. Hey. Come back this afternoon. We got Brian Basting from Advanced Trading.
It's time to give back to your roots and make this your best growing season with Radiate. Radiate's patented formulation of plant growth regulators help develop longer, stronger, healthier roots to improve nutrient uptake. And now, when you give back to your roots, you give back to FFA. Nutrient Ag Solutions and Radiate are proud to support national FFA alumni and supporters chapter grant programs across the country. Ask your Nutrient Ag Solutions crop consultant about Radiate or go online to radiateroots.com for more details. Always read and follow label directions. Check registration in your state.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.